I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's a question that I've answered over and over again. It's one of the first questions that nearly always comes up when I meet someone for the first time, right after, where are you from and what team do you cheer for? It's, what do you do for work? And when I give my answer, I'm a priest in the Episcopal Church, the immediate follow-up is always, how or when did you decide you wanted to be a priest? So I take a deep breath. It's really not a tricky question, though it's part of my story. It's part of my history, part of my past. It's an answer I've had practice at giving over the past several years. And from the very first time I brought up wanting to be a priest to my recent interactions. In seminary, we have a name for that story. It's your call story. In fact, one of the very first papers I ever wrote as a student in seminary was my call story. I had to give all the details that were relevant to how I got to this point in my life being in seminary. And it was pretty nerve-wracking then, I have to say, because sometimes I felt like the objective was to prove my worth and to prove why I was there. After a while, though, telling my call story became easier the more and more I was asked to give it. I found myself writing about it or sharing it many, many times over the course of being in school and the time after. And after a while, I started to realize that a call story is not about proving yourself. It's not about explaining the legitimacy of your existence. A call story is a story about God reaching out and your response to that reaching out. In today's gospel reading, we get to witness a call story firsthand. We get to witness a response to a reaching out of sorts. When Jesus calls upon the help of some fishermen, Simon, Peter, James, and John, I really think it's pretty important to look closely at this passage from Luke to really get a full grasp of the significance of the event that we witness here today. So here we go. Are you ready? We're going to dive in here. You guys are supposed to be excited about that part. Like it or not, here we go. The scripture tells us that Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. Now, the Lake of Gennesaret is also another name for the Sea of Galilee. So you can kind of get that image in your head. And Luke tells us then that there was a large crowd that was coming to Jesus because they wanted to hear the word of God. The crowd was pressing in on him, is what the scripture says. And you can imagine a group of people who had heard about this new rabbi who was teaching about all sorts of things and wanted to hear what he had to say. Word was getting around about Jesus' teaching, and so the crowd was probably a little bit bigger than the one he had experienced before, and the one before that, and the one before that. The crowd was big enough that it pushed Jesus to borrow a boat. So Simon lets him aboard and pushes away from the shore just as Jesus had requested. And, you know, Simon Peter was fine with this. He and the other two fishermen in the story, James and John, were done with their fishing for the night. And we understand that that fishing trip was very uneventful and they didn't catch much. But Jesus then teaches the people from the boat. Why, you may ask? Well, because sound travels really well over water. And if you have this big crowd all around you, people might not be able to hear. Everybody might not be able to hear, but you get sort of an amphitheater effect if you preach and teach a little bit and using the water to help the acoustics. But Jesus wasn't quite done with Simon Peter yet. I like to imagine that Simon was thinking that he had done his good deed for the day and helped Jesus out just for a little bit, and then he was going to go home and kick his feet up and get ready for the next day's fishing. But Jesus wasn't done. There was a little more that he was going to ask Simon to do. You guys have any of these friends? A friend who asks you to help out with something and it always turns into a bigger project. Yes, I'm seeing heads nodding. I have one of those friends too. I have a friend who is a very sweet, precious child of God who tends to have this habit of doing this to me. And once he asked me to help him move furniture at his parents' house. And he even used the line, "It won't take long, I promise." But I agreed, though, because I'm a nice guy. And we did move some furniture. But then he told me about how his parents were getting a new washer and dryer delivered. So they needed to get the old and very heavy washer and dryer disconnected, moved out onto a truck so that it could be taken to Goodwill. After giving him a very disapproving glare and saying something about how his projects always turn out into something much bigger than he had first mentioned, he said, I know, I'm sorry, the washer and dryer are on the second floor. But anyway, back to Jesus. So Jesus' request was not quite as simple as just allowing him to borrow a boat for a morning lesson to the looming crowd. Jesus had one more request for Simon Peter. Put out into deep water and let down your nets. Simon doesn't get it. And he tells Jesus that, hold on, we were just out there all night and didn't catch anything. What do you mean you want us to try again? But still, for whatever reason, he agrees. And we hear what happens next. Simon, James, and John bring in more fish than their boats can handle. Simon then does the only thing that he knows to do, and that's to throw himself at the feet of Jesus. But Jesus tells him that the game has changed for him. He is no longer going to be catching fish, but he is going to be catching people. I'm just going to stop right there and say that I really, really love this passage. I love it because the whole narrative of the calling of the first disciples is so rich, and it still tells us about the call to discipleship for us here today in Hoover in 2019. So what does this tell us? First of all, the story tells us that Jesus meets us where we are. We don't have to achieve success. We don't have to reach a certain goal before we can get to where we're able to follow Christ and live our lives accordingly. Jesus called his first disciples while they were in their boat, meeting them where they were physically and metaphorically. It was in a boat with empty nets. I think we all know the feeling of finding our own nets empty. But this story tells us that Jesus wants us. Jesus wants our hearts, and not just when our nets are full. After all, when Simon and James and John left to follow Jesus, the passage said that they left their full nets behind. Second is this: whether you're a fisherman, a lawyer, a teacher, a banker, a doctor, a janitor, or a Walmart greeter, discipleship makes our ordinary work and our ordinary lives a vehicle for the presence of Christ in this world. As followers of Christ, we can, through our words and actions, make the love of God known in our community, no matter who we are. How we work, serve, pray, and play speaks to who we are and what we believe. And if we believe in the transforming love of God, then our lives will reflect that. We've been talking a bit over the past few weeks about being welcoming and being able to share with folks about our holy apostles' story. You can tell it's been on the clergy's minds because Blake and I both preached on it the last few weeks. Big part of telling that story is just being an example to people we meet. Treating others the way Jesus tells us we should treat others. In our words and our actions, whether it's in the workplace, the grocery store, or your kids' or grandkids' soccer game, We each have an opportunity to share our story with those around us in so many different ways and through so many different avenues. And finally, I talked about a call story being a reaching out and a reaction to that reaching out. It's so important for us to remember that with a life of discipleship, our response is not simply yes. Although that is a good place to start, I will say. But following Jesus is much more about, is much more than just about saying yes. If our response is nothing more than a yes, then I think we've missed the point. We have to recognize that discipleship isn't always going to be an easy deal. I love particularly the part of this passage where Jesus tells Simon to put the boat out into deep water. My friends, as disciples, we are not in the business of the shallow end. Jesus tells us to care for the sick and feed the hungry, clothe the naked, look after the downtrodden and the lonely, and to love, love, love like Jesus has loved us. I'm telling you this, it's hard to do that. It's hard to do that work standing on the shoreline. You've heard me say it before, but there are people in this world who are hurting. There are people in this room who are hurting. And as daunting as it may seem for us to tend to God's work in the deep water, we do so knowing one thing that is proven to us throughout the scriptures. We do not go at it alone. We belong to a faithful God. We say so in our baptismal covenant. When we agree to do all those important things, you know, proclaiming the good news, serving Christ in all persons, and striving for justice among all people, we end each promise with the words, "We will with God's help." So I want to end this morning by just asking a few questions. I'm just going to leave them hanging there. How is God reaching out to you today? What are the parts of your lives that God wants to use to share the good news with others? What is your call story? What is our call story? What is God calling this place and this parish to do and to be as this community around us grows and changes? Finally, I'll leave you with this last one. When we hear the call from God, when God reaches out to us, what will our response be? Amen.